Well, I will add my welcome to Gordon's, and am I not on? I thought I was on. Okay, I'm good now. I can never tell if I'm on or not, sorry. Okay, let me start again. I'm going to add my welcome to Gordon's. Welcome all to this Hanging of the Greens service. For those of you who don't know what the Hanging of the Greens is, it is sort of the traditional time in the Christmas, or excuse me, in the church year where we transition from what's called ordinary time into Advent. And so this particular service is fun because for me it gets to explain the reasons behind a lot of the things that we do as Christians and a lot of the reasons why we decorate, at least traditionally speaking, the way we do. So we will begin. As we begin this Christmas year, we also celebrate this holy season known as Advent. It's the time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. Advent means coming, and we celebrate these days of Advent in expectation and in preparation for Christ's arrival. Through the centuries, Christians have observed a time of waiting and expectation before celebrating the birth of the Savior at Christmas. The Advent season is a time of reflection and preparation, but its mood is also joyful. Advent has been enriched by Christian tradition to reflect its distinctive Christian meaning. It proclaims the revelation of God's love as expressed in Christ's birth in a humble stable, his sacrificial death on the cross, and his victorious resurrection. It points to the hope of Christ coming again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Advent makes innkeepers out of all of us, asking each of us to make room for the arrival of Christ the King. Let us today prepare him room in our hearts, in our lives, and in our homes.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our health in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. Thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
A star in the sky carols in the evening air, a candle in the window, a wreath on the door, mistletoe hung high, poinsettias aflame with brilliant color, gifts beneath a lighted tree, friends around the holiday table, families reunited in love, church bells ringing. This is Christmas. Though similar to Christmas celebrations in other countries, we have our own traditions and flair, rich treasures of custom and tradition woven into a pattern with our own threads, giving to us the colorful pageantry of our Christmas celebration. Let us listen to the lessons of the years and centuries, not just to impressions of the moment. The images of the present in the biblical story are often discouraging. War, hate, famine, epidemics, a Caesar on his throne, a Paul in prison, Christians being persecuted. But now, after the centuries, the Caesar is gone. Paul is a symbol of faith, and Jesus, the truth and the light, is reaching out to every nation. Let us, through the great traditions of our faith, join with the shepherds of Bethlehem, the wise men from the east, and the seekers throughout the ages to welcome the one who came at Christmas. Let us at Christmastide bring our gifts to him, and may the message of our songs be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to people everywhere.
Would you stand as we sing Hark the Herald Angels?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ my eyes then adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the God is seen, hail the incarnate deity.
The most striking and the most universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in our churches and in our homes. Among the ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, of joy, and of victory. The early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered their home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change color. They are ever green, ever alive, even in the midst of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Jesus Christ. Under Christian thought and sentiment, holly became widely used in the church celebrations. Holly was considered as the burning bush, or a symbol of Mary's, whose being glows with the Holy Spirit. The red berries represented the blood drops from the cruel thorns in the crown of Jesus. In Isaiah 60:13, we find these words: "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of your sanctuary." Our forefathers called the procuring of these evergreens bringing home of Christmas.
Stand one more time and sing the next song.
Today, the Christmas tree is the center of our festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it is part of the beauty and the meaning of Christmas. There are several legends and stories about the Christmas tree. The first use of the Christmas tree was in the medieval German paradise plays, held outdoor and proclaiming the creation of humankind. The tree of life was a fir tree decorated with apples. Later, other ornaments were hung upon them, such as paper flowers and gilded nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were forced into bloom indoors for Christmas. From these beginnings, the use of the tree at Christmas was established. Lost my place. There we go. Martin Luther was perhaps the first to use a lighted tree in the Christmas celebration. The story is told that on Christmas Eve, Martin Luther wandered outdoors and became enraptured with the beauty of the starry sky. Its brilliance and loveliness led him to reflect on the glory of the first Christmas Eve as seen in Bethlehem's radiant skies. Wishing to share with his wife and his children the enchantment that he felt, he cut from the forest an evergreen, glistening with snow, and took it home. He placed upon it candles to represent the glorious heavens that he had seen. The use of a candle-lighted tree spread to all of Europe. Then America came to regard it as the central ornament of Christmas.
Thank you.
Christmas light, oh Christmas tree. Christmas tree, your beauty green will teach me. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your beauty green will teach me that hope and love will ever be the way to joy and peace for me. Oh, Christmas tree.
Most Christmas greenery reflects European traditions, but one colorful plant, which looks like a flaming star, the poinsettia, is native to the American continent. It was named after Dr. Joel Robert Poinsett, an ambassador to Mexico, who first introduced it to the United States in 1828. The people of Mexico and Central America call the brilliant tropical plant the flower of the holy night. The poinsettia is a many-pointed star that has become a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem. Both visual and performing arts have always been important ways to communicate the Christian faith. The use of music has helped believers understand their godly hope. Other forms of visual art have been used, have been used from the beginning to help express various aspects of Christian doctrine and life. Colors, altar paraments, or coverings, and banners are some of the most important visual ways Christians have used to express their faith in worship. The objective in covering the communion table with cloths of various colors was to help focus the attention of worshipers on the special nature of Christ as the perfect sacrifice. In the early days of Christian worship, Advent and Christmas were seen as a somber time, much like Lent is today. Purple table coverings were used to speak of Christ's kingship, but the mood was somber. As Christians began to share their celebration of Christmas with their non-Christian neighbors, they began to focus on the joy of the Christmas event. As the emphasis of Christmas began to change to one of joyful celebration, the color used was also changed to express Christ the King in a more happy way. While purple is still used in some churches at certain times, many Christian churches now use blue to speak of the kingship of Christ when the occasion is joyful. At Advent, we wait with anticipation and celebration for our coming Christ. So our hearts sing out, O come, Emmanuel. But first, I need help from my friend Landon because I think we need a change of color. Try again. There we go. Thanks, Landon.
Advent is a time of expectation, and this is symbolized not only by the four-week period of preparation, but also by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us, the worshipers, that something is happening and that somewhere more is still to come. The candles are arranged in a circle to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows neither beginning nor ending. There is also symbolism in the colors of the candle. The three blue candles symbolize the coming of Christ and the royal line of David. He is coming as the King of Kings as well as the Prince of Peace. The pink candle, to be lighted on the third Sunday of Advent, is the candle that represents joy. The large white candle in the center is known as the Christ candle and points to Jesus the Christ, the light of the world. A progression is noted in the lighting of the candles of Advent wreath each Sunday. Each candle symbolizes various aspects of our waiting experience. Some years they are hope, joy, peace, and love. Others they are prophecy, prepare, rejoice, and proclaim. The culmination of the season comes when we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. We join in rejoicing now that the promise of long ago has been fulfilled. Now I'd like to invite the Treat family to come up and light the first candle.
Our Advent journey begins with rules of the road. We are on the way to where God would have us be, and we're not there yet. But how shall we go? We shall go together as one body, living and trusting in one another. We shall go as this community of faith, working side by side and leaning into the grace of God every step of the way. We shall go in peace.
Isaiah says that in days to come, the nation shall stream to the mountains of the Lord. And there we will beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. There we will learn war no more. God will teach us peace.
We light the first candle to burn as a sign of peace among all people.
Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that God may teach us the ways of peace.
Oh,
One of the most heartwarming expressions of the Christian of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom, why God chose to send his Son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings we do not know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including poor and wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him, knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary, with Joseph, with the shepherds and the wise men bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming to us. Today and throughout this season, we display a nativity in our sanctuary to remind us of God made low, to remind us that we come and worship him.
From the beginning of Christmas celebrations, gift giving has been a part of the season. The wise men gave out their treasures, and the shepherds gave of themselves. Both express the gift of God in giving Christ as the Savior of the world. Unique in our history of generous givers is the story of St. Nicholas, Bishop of Myra in Lycia, in the 4th century AD. He is reputed to have been wealthy, his emblem being 3 purses and 3 golden balls. This was the symbol of rich Italian families in his time. It survives today as the signs of some of our pawn shops. The good bishop gave his money away secretly to those whom he found in need. He was deeply interested in young people, giving his wealth especially to maidens whose lack of a dowry was affecting their matrimonial future, and to needy boys. Gifts coming from unknown sources were commonly attributed to him, and parents customarily gave him credit for their gifts to their children. The discovery of his generosity is said to have been made by the father of 3 dowryless daughters. The eldest 2 each received from the chimney on successive nights a substantial gift of gold with her name on it. The father resolved to watch and see who their generous benefactor could be. His vigil revealed the good Saint Nicholas as the donor of the gifts. His name survives today as the human embodiment of unselfish giving. Hanging up our stockings in pleasant anticipation of Santa's gifts may have originated from the fact that the maidens of this bishopric of Myra, needing and expecting a dowry from the good Saint Nicholas, suspended a stocking to catch the money purse the generous bishop was sure to drop down the chimney.
We 3 kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traverse afar.
star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
The actual origin of caroling as a part of the Christmas celebration is really unknown. Several countries have claimed to be the birthplace of that custom. From the first, music of some kind was part of the church festivals in honor of the birth of Jesus. We know that caroling existed in Germany in the 15th century because Martin Luther wrote that when Christmas was celebrated, he went with others from house to house and village to village singing popular Christmas carols. We could safely assume that caroling was first done by the choir of angels who sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all people." gift of Christmas is the gift of God in Christ Jesus. All that we do at this holy season points to an expression of holy love. Christ came as a baby in Bethlehem, God's gift at Christmas. As Christians, we seek to pass on our heritage to our children and to those who, by faith in Christ, become a part of the family of God. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine that the gift goes on.
And so today we will celebrate this gift by taking of communion together. To me, there is no greater expression of our hope and of our faith and of our joy than the communion table as we gather together and receive Christ anew every time we partake of it. One of the great things about the Christmas season is it's colorful, it's bright, it's experiential, right? We all know what it's like to see the lights as they light up. We all know what it's like to sing the Christmas music that I so earnestly deny you during Advent and that we get to sing on Christmas Eve. We know just the joy of the season and we feel it all throughout. And one of the things I love about communion is that it's something that we can literally feel, something we can literally see, something literally we can touch and taste and receive. And so as we begin the Advent season today, we begin by tasting and touching and seeing, by experiencing Christ in a real and tactile way. So this morning, we will take communion together. I want to remind you that you don't have to be a member of this church, a member of any church for that matter, to partake of the gifts of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You need only to desire the grace that Christ brings in his death and in his resurrection. I would let you know that after I've prayed and after the elements have been distributed, that if you would take and you would hold, and then once we have all been served, we will partake of his body and blood together. So will those who are going to assist me please come forward. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this season. We give you thanks for the light that we celebrate that has come into the world, the light of your presence in Jesus Christ. Lord, the wonderful mystery of our faith that you, the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And Lord, we know that it is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us into your image and you breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made a covenant to be our sovereign God, and you spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and in all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join in the unending hymn, singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He ate with sinners. And by the baptism of his suffering and death, he made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. We remember that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it. And giving it to his disciples, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to it and gave it to his disciples saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we take this time in the weeks leading up to Christmas Day to prepare our hearts to receive him and, yes, to receive you anew. Lord God, we thank you for this gift. Lord, we thank you for these gifts. And we proclaim the mystery of our faith that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and of the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. We pray all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Receive his grace today. We celebrate this gift, and we prepare him room in our hearts and in our lives, for he has offered us the gift of life. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you. take and eat and receive his grace today. And this is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Receive his grace today. And as we close today, I'd like us to stand together and to sing the doxology. If you don't know the words to the doxology, they're very simple. I'll go over them right now for you. The doxology goes like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, if I can start us on the right key, that's a little more difficult. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Now may the God who has called us to live in hope and expectation go with you as you journey in faith towards the new future that God has created by God's love. God's love that has dwelt and continues to dwell in and among us. Go in his grace, go in his peace, go and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.